Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March the 8th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal is to always promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. We do it simply. The supreme law of the land is the Constitution for the United States of America and our guide. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. That's for starters. We also promote God, family, country, protect life, liberty, and property. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration. What more do you want from a talk show, huh? Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use? You got it. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. By the way, we were not live on Saturday. I had some work stuff to take care of. But Friday's broadcast, quick recap, is in order. We had our guest on, Mr. Richard Mack, CSPOA.org, with us. Praying with you for our precious republic. We talked about that, and we continue to talk about that in America. Look, you don't like Joe Biden as president. You think he was illegally placed there. I happen to agree with that view, to which I'm entitled. I can have that view of vote fraud and belief as I want to. This is not China. This is America. And just because I believe that we had vote fraud, that doesn't mean that I'm a criminal. It doesn't mean that I'm going to go riot and pillage and plunder. It does mean that I want accountability for the greatest country on the face of the earth, though. All right, I'm praying for our precious republic, and believe it or not, I'm praying for whacked out Joe Biden. All right, we need to talk about Joe Biden, writes Kevin Williamson. Joe is a plagiarist and a liar. Biden lied, and he got caught about an act of military heroism. Yeah. He wanted to aggrandize his own fake role in the story, folks. Look, this guy has been caught many times. This is not my opinion. This is not debatable. Okay? Joe Biden is not to be trusted. Roughly three dozen House Democrats even recently sent a letter to Joe Biden urging him to make an unprecedented move. What is that? Give up his power over the nuclear launch codes. Politico with the story. Yeah, they claim that having that power over the political launch codes, or the whatever you want to call them, what would it be? Nuclear launch codes? Okay, why would they ask Joe Biden to give that up? What do they want? They want to share the launch codes? Checks and balances for the launch codes? Is it because they don't trust Joe? Is it because they believe Joe's not mentally stable enough to handle it? You know what? These Democrats need to explain themselves, in my humble opinion. But we talked about how those who are surrounding Joe Biden, you know, if there are problems with his mental clarity and his mental sharpness and his mental stability and everything else, like the allegations are, and like we literally see every day on the news, he forgets where he is and more. It is criminal to uphold a president like that and then not speak out against it, because whoever's surrounding Joe, making these decisions, we've never elected any of those people. And to back a man who you claim, on one hand, is safe and stable and can take the oath of office for president and anything else, on the other hand, you want to undermine him and say he shouldn't be able to handle the nuclear codes by himself, although that's been the case for decades in America. At some point, there's a treasonous reality to this, folks. You cannot elect a man and uphold a man in office by hook and by crook, in other words, deceiving the people about his stability, and have it both ways. At some point, it becomes a national security treasonous scenario. Migrants, by the way, at the southern border are wearing Biden T-shirts that say, "Please let us in." See, this is what I'm talking about. You cannot have the border of the United States of America leak like a sieve on Joe's watch because he's not mentally clear enough to handle this. Look, you cannot bring in the criminals in America. You just cannot do that, ladies and gentlemen. We had our guest on, Dr. Scott Bradley, second hour, to preserve the nation. His goal, freedomsrisingsun.com, is an incredible website. And we talked about discussion of the Battle of the Alamo. Remember the Alamo. Yeah, it was Texas's war for independence, ladies and gentlemen. It lasted 13 days. It was February 23rd, 1836, March 6th, 1836. And we talked about the evils of war. And we talked about the very fuzzy line, but it all comes down to the border, doesn't it? So the Alamo to Joe Biden, we need to stop the wars going on. We need to jettison the warlike mentality. We've become a warlike people. We need to sue for peace at every turn, ladies and gentlemen. And most wars could be avoided. Did you know that? Yeah. Anyway, remember the Alamo and the heroes that were there. It was the 185th anniversary of the Alamo. House passes H.R. 1, radical election bill, in an attempt to federally weaponize elections. In addition to that, Joe Biden over the weekend committed an executive order, adding insult to injury. He should be arrested for his executive orders. He thinks he's in the lawmaking branch of government. Tis not so, ladies and gentlemen. Go look at your checks and balances to get it figured out, would you please, and do so in a hurry. By the way, the Equality Act is really the Inequality Act, and that's literally passing as well, along with massive stimulus checks. Beware, they're remaking the Republic before your very eyes, and you will wake up in a country that you do not recognize if you're not very careful, my fellow Americans. I know you wanted to jettison Donald, and you wanted to back Joe, but now, ladies and gentlemen, they have literally put something in the stew that you ain't going to like. Write it down. Remember who warned you first. That's a recap. Without further ado, news the networks refuse to use starts now, and it starts with our good buddy, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome, sir.
Thanks for having me, FM. Good to be with you.
You are very welcome indeed, my friend. Now, here's an interesting tidbit. Lowell was available on Friday night at the Highland, Utah meeting. They have political, patriotic meetings once a month on Fridays. Lowell and others lead up that charge, and they had a very dear friend of mine there by the name of Caleb Warnock. And Caleb's website, seedrenaissance.com. You probably didn't know that Caleb was a dear friend of mine, did you?
No, I didn't know that, Sam. Good to know. Why, yeah, goodness, how'd you know him?
Years and years and years and years and years ago in Delta, Utah, I spent a lot of time with their family. He comes from Leamington and Linden, or Leamington, Utah, and I was working with his family quite a bit on a variety of different things back in the day. So I know Caleb quite well and consider him a dear, dear friend.
Oh, I'm delighted to know that, Sam. You know, I didn't know he was such a funny, humorous fellow.
That's... Oh, he's hilarious, and he's also just a green thumb, buddy.
That's for sure. Not only did he provide some excellent gardening tips, but also the best stand-up comedy I've heard in years, Sam. I was just enthralled, and everybody who was there was just enthralled. They couldn't get enough of Caleb Warnock. What a choice individual.
Yeah, he wrote for, I don't know if he writes now, but he wrote for the Daily Herald for a long time, too. He's a terrific writer.
Yeah, I know that he has a number of books. I had no idea that he also wrote for the Daily Herald. My goodness sakes. You know, he said he ought to win a Nobel Prize. And now I'm believing it even more and more.
Believe it or not, he actually should.
Yeah, yeah. It's incredible what that guy knows and what he's done. I mean, he talked about the Utah's soil is not particularly good for growing stuff. You know, when he joked that when Brigham Young came into the valley and said this is the right place, he wasn't talking about gardening.
That's right.
If you want to raise a garden in Utah, you know, according to Caleb, this is not the right place. The soil is way too alkaline, and so he taught us how to make soil that the seeds would love. You know, in which seeds could germinate successfully. He suggested that we use sky water, you know, rainwater, you know, snow melt, basically, to germinate our seeds because the alkalinity of tap water or irrigation water simply, you know, chokes and prevents the seed from germinating properly. Well, I had no idea about this stuff. I mean, I've been here on this planet for 60 years or more, and I did not know that. You know, the tap water that I'm drinking, you know, actually inhibits the germination of these little tiny seeds that I put in the ground every spring. I am so amazed at what he showed us. I mean, he showed us how our ancestors hundreds of years ago, Sam, extended their growing seasons using a bell-shaped jar called a cloche. I'd never heard the word cloche before, but it's these marvelous-looking, beautiful-looking glass jars that you put over a vegetable plant to protect it from the cold. Well, I mean, that's, you know, if you're not rich enough to have built a greenhouse or savvy enough to build a greenhouse, because that's really the best way to garden here in Utah. And you can garden year-round, not just in the summertime, you know, spring, summer, and fall. You can actually raise food year-round here in Utah, yes, even in the winter.
and by the way, let's be very clear, even colder climates, it works as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, Saturday, the day after Friday, you know, just 2 days ago this weekend, I toured his property there in Alpine. He was having a class on building cold frames, and I joined the class. And with a couple dozen other people, toured his property. I mean, he has got quite a number of greenhouses, many, many plants that he's growing there. He even has lemon trees, Sam, where he's growing citrus fruit. Nobody grows lemons in Utah. Nobody.
Caleb does, buddy. Caleb grows anything, anytime, anywhere. He brings back the old pioneer wisdom to modern times. I want to spend a little bit of time discussing his incredible, rare, and most important seed collections he's got and he sells, because that's critical when it comes to free, what, access to food maybe?
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
All right, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, with me on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about Caleb Warnock. Incredible presentation Friday night at the Highland Utah meeting. But Lowell had the chance to go visit Warnock's property and check out the classes Caleb Warnock puts together. Just tremendous stuff. But Caleb is not only a multi-talented guy, he's funnier than I'll get out. But besides that, he writes a lot of books, and he's well known for his green thumb. No doubt about it. He brings back the pioneer viewpoint of things where, you know what? He rejects GMO. And he's one of the, in my opinion, world leaders in terms of preserving free food. Lol.
Yes. These are seeds that, you know, when we say GMO, let's be very plain about this. GMO stands for genetically modified organism. And so GMO foods are foods that have been grown from a seed, which has been genetically modified in ways that we cannot begin to understand.
Now, let me explain genetically modified, because I know that word sounds kind of, hey, all we're doing is making food better and, you know, last longer and be more resilient to bugs. And I mean, at first, genetically modified sounds okay. You think, oh, wow, you know, good farmers and good people are trying to change the food so that it's, you know, it's better for us. And at first, that sounds great, but it all depends on who has their hands on the technology or who is doing the, quote, genetic modifications and to what lengths they'll go for what purposes. The latest incarnation of genetically modified in my mind means man manipulated. And man manipulated for their own control purposes. And that's really the big difference in this capability of who's in charge and for what is their agenda, lol.
Right. Most people, like myself, thought that the GMO meant that the seeds would be able to produce stronger, better plants, you know, hybrids. We learn, you know, typically provide plants that are more resistant to bacteria or to disease, and they produce better and bigger fruits and vegetables and so forth. I mean, and there may be some of that if you do so naturally, if you cross certain plants with other certain plants in a natural way, maybe that's true. But what happens with a hybrid is, a hybrid can't reproduce itself, generally speaking. And so if you're in charge, if you own the seed production capabilities of the planet, and everybody has to buy their seeds from you, and you control the seeds, you genetically modify these seeds so that they don't reproduce, then you have committed a huge crime, and without people knowing it. That means they have to go back to you year after year to purchase seed, because the plants that were germinated from the seeds they bought from you last year wouldn't reproduce.
And let's be very clear, God is the ultimate author. Mm-hmm. He did not lock down the method of food generation or food creation.
No, he said the earth is full, there is enough and to spare. That's his plan, is that you plant a seed and it grows a plant and it reproduces after its own kind, right? I mean, a tomato will grow a tomato whose seeds grow tomato plants. You know, you don't get something weird, but you do get offspring. And these genetically modified organisms don't necessarily do that. And so the seed libraries of the collectivists, those globalists who want global control, they want seeds that don't reproduce. Not only does that choke the creativity and the independence of mankind, because it forces them to be further dependent on these big globalists, but it also results in food that is not nearly as healthy as the foods that we're used to eating, because a food that can reproduce has vital elements and nutrients in it that helps us human beings reproduce and carry on our species. But if we eat foods that don't, watermelons, for example, used to have seeds in them. Well, they've genetically modified most watermelons nowadays that they're seedless. What in the world are we doing eating seedless watermelon, Sam? That doesn't provide the nutrients that we need to reproduce. I mean, that it's crazy to think about that, but that's what's happening. We eat oranges. There's seedless oranges, seedless tangerines, seedless everything, because people don't want to bother with the seeds, they say. Well, I do. In my family, I don't like watermelon that doesn't have seeds in it. I like the seeded melons.
Yeah, buddy, how are you going to have a seed fight without no seeds there, bro? Come on now.
Well, the great thing that Caleb Warnock is doing is that he is preserving heirloom seeds. In other words, seeds that will reproduce themselves. Boy, some of the rarest and most important seeds in the world, Caleb specializes in the preservation of those plants and seeds that reproduce. Just wonderful. Single-handedly, almost, Sam. He literally searches the globe for the last seeds of important historic varieties. He keeps alive many of the critical heirloom varieties He's written, as you said, books about this. Forgotten Skills of Self-Sufficiency Used by the Mormon Pioneers is just one. You can reach him at calebwarnock.blogspot.com and also at seedsrenaissance.com. I just invite you warmly to get excited, to get involved, turning your own backyard into a renaissance. Just wonderful. And he doesn't use chemical fertilizer, pesticides, herbicides, and none of that stuff. Everything is organic that he does. Just marvelous, Sam. He really, truly does deserve a Nobel Prize, even though he jokes about it. The more I learn from him, the more I really believe he has earned a Nobel Prize for peace in the world. And I hope he says after he dies, that's when he'll get it. Well.
And people don't underestimate, if you're not really a gardener, if you don't really understand seeds, you just kind of gloss over and go, nah, okay. But really, Caleb is doing one of the most critical works, in my opinion, of our time. Everyone, let me say it again, everyone who needs to eat, which, you know, hey, everyone, right, depends on the work that Caleb is doing. Because once the control freaks have complete control by genetically modified seeds that you won't be able to have reproduce. In other words, once you buy them from them, that's the end. And if they won't let you buy or sell because maybe you don't have the COVID vaccine documentation or I don't know what when, I'm just telling you. I mean, these guys have created Frankenstein seeds, folks. And at first it sounds, you know, simple. Oh, hey, we want thinner orange peels so we can peel them. Okay, they, you know, made it happen. We want resistant to bugs. We want fruit that's robust and can grow in not the best growing seasons. And those things sound great. And if that's really all that they were talking about, it probably wouldn't be too bad. The problem is then when the control freaks get a handle on it, it's disaster. And that's really what we're seeing, and that's what real pushback is. But I digress, except to say that Caleb's work on this is really something. Lol.
Yes, it is, Sam. Not only, well, yeah, his backyard is basically a garden. I mean, everything back there. And he has seeds that will reproduce themselves, so he doesn't have to replant. And he doesn't have weeds. 99% of his backyard is weed-free. I mean, occasionally there a little creep in, maybe a weed here or there that blows in from the neighbors. But there are no weeds. Get that, zero weeds. In growing in his backyard because of the way he Kugel cultures his garden area. So not only is he growing his own vegetables year-round, but he's doing it in a way that uses less water than anybody else on the planet, and he doesn't have to replant because the seeds reproduce themselves. And so it's like the Garden of Eden almost, Sam, when you walk into his backyard. I mean, and he wants everybody to have that same Garden of Eden in their own backyard. He wants a renaissance of seeds in our backyard because he doesn't want to be the only one doing this important work. He wants you and me and everybody listening to this show to have his own backyard full of these heirloom seeds and producing food because he... You know, like Sam and I, realizes that there may come a time when the globalists don't want us to be able to eat because you can control a hungry person far easier than you can control a person who is able to grow his own food. So there are many, many reasons to be involved in gardening, but particularly this type of gardening because it perpetuates itself and it doesn't require much water. It basically runs itself, Sam. It's phenomenal.
Yes, it is, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how to respond more than that, except I consider Caleb a dear friend, and I'm also convinced he is one of the people that single-handedly can make the difference between life and death for literally every one of us on the planet. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Thousands of protesters marched through Minneapolis streets Sunday, urging justice for George Floyd on the eve of the start of the former police officer Derek Chauvin's trial over the 46-year-old's death. Mr. Chauvin claims George Floyd died of a drug overdose after videos show Mr. Floyd having packets of drugs in his mouth as he was being arrested. Jury selection procedures begin Monday. Afghanistan's Tolo News reported Sunday Secretary of State Anthony Blinken proposed in a letter to President Ashraf Ghani steps including a UN-facilitated summit to revive stalled peace talks between the Afghan government and the Taliban. Blinken expressed concerns of a potential spring offensive by the Taliban and that the security situation may worsen and the Taliban could make rapid territorial gain after an American withdrawal. There will be 9 Major League Baseball spring training games Monday. The early game started 1:05 p.m. Eastern with the Mets versus the Nationals and the Marlins versus the Cardinals going at it. USA Radio News.
It's happened. Since Election Day, more than 5 million people have downloaded the free Newsmax TV app from their smartphone store. It takes seconds, and with the free app, you can watch Newsmax TV right away. Most cable news channels require a paid subscription. Not Newsmax. You get real news whenever you want. At home, Newsmax TV is on all major cable systems. And it's free on OTT devices. Your smart TVs like Samsung, LG, Vizio, and Roku. YouTube, Zumo, and Pluto. Now, the free smartphone app lets you watch Newsmax easily wherever you are. So check Newsmax.com online for breaking headlines. Then go to the Newsmax TV app to watch the latest news with Sebastian Gorka, Dick Morris, Greg Kelly, Diamond and Silk, Michelle Malkin, Mike Huckabee, Alan Dershowitz, and so much more. Newsmax is already the 4th highest rated cable news channel in America. Everyone is watching Newsmax because it's real news for real people.
President Biden continues to govern by executive order. Jeremy Scott from the Oregon USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The president's order alters the way the federal government handles elections, including increasing voter registration access for criminals in prison and on probation. It directs every federal agency to prepare a plan in the next 200 days for how they can promote voter registration, such as mail-in ballots. Sunday marked 56 years since civil rights activists were viciously beaten in Alabama.
The blood of John Lewis and so many other brave and righteous souls that was spilled in Selma on this Sunday in 1965, sanctified a noble struggle. And when the country saw those images that night, America was forced to confront the denial of democracy, the fierce urgency of justice.
President Biden said every eligible voter should be able to vote and have that vote counted.
Executive orders have the effect of law. This is USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, for those of you, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who want to grow in all seasons, you want natural seeds, not GMO stuff, the man to go to is Caleb Warnock. SeedRenaissance.com is website. Write that down, SeedRenaissance.com. Just like it sounds, no spaces, seedrenaissance.com. I'm telling you, he does a tremendous job. Caleb Warnock sells some of the rarest and most important seeds in the world, specializing in year-round self-sufficient gardening for all climates. I'm telling you right now, the guy's a master green thumb. Wow, he's written books. The guy could single-handedly save us all from starvation if we follow his methods and we really put stock in and understand the seeds that he's collected. Single-handedly, the guy has just done a tremendous service to humanity in general. It's amazing. All right, moving right along. The national security state racket. Lol.
Another great article by Jacob G. Hornberger, posted at ronpaulinstitute.org. He makes the observation, Sam, that some people are criticizing Biden for his airstrikes on Syria without a declaration of war by Congress. And this is truly an impeachable offense, of course. And Trump and Obama and other presidents are guilty of that. Now, while he gets criticized for this, Hornberger suggests that maybe Biden did not make the decision to launch an airstrike on Syria. That's possible, right? Well, yeah, I think it's really quite plausible. How about the national security establishment We're talking about the Pentagon, the CIA, FBI, and so forth. Maybe they are the ones who made the decision, and maybe Biden simply deferred to their judgment. His national security advisors, for example, could have made the decision because they are influenced by the Pentagon. Well, most people are not willing to consider that possibility, but I think it really is quite likely that the national security establishment here in the U.S. regime is making U.S. foreign policy decisions. Hornberger asked this question, Sam. He says, quote, when was the last time that Congress significantly reduced the budget for the national security establishment? You'll never see it. That's because the national security establishment controls Congress. No member of Congress, especially the military and CIA veterans, would dare to take them on. If he did, he would be toast, because the Pentagon would immediately retaliate by threatening to close down military projects or bases in his district. The Pentagon's and the CIA's assets and the mainstream press would immediately take the offensive and accuse the congressman of being ineffective. He would be out in the next election. End of quote. Boy, that's telling it like it is. Well, President Eisenhower warned about this type of influence in 1961. That's like 60 years ago, Sam. 60 years. 60 years ago. And the national security establishment has only grown stronger and more powerful since then. Hornberger says that JFK took these people on directly by heeding Eisenhower's warnings, in other words, and that was why JFK played an instrumental role in bringing to the marketplace a movie entitled 7 Days in May to serve as a warning to the American people. Now, I'd never heard about the movie 7 Days in May, but I took a look at the trailer last night, and I think that's a movie that I want to take a look at. But Americans never paid heed to these warnings, and so for the next 40 years, the national security establishment milked the war on communism, right, the Red Scare, the Cold War, basically, by engendering fear in the American people, fear of the Russians, so that they would continue to invest the Pentagon, the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, and so many other agencies back there with more power, influence, and money. And when JFK decided to end the Cold War racket, he was dealt with. And the message to the American people was loud and clear: don't fight us. We are in charge. You get used to it. That was the message. And that kind of describes our situation today. Hornberger writes, it's now a fear-mongering perfect storm. Terrorists, Muslims, Russia and China, and for good measure, Syria, North Korea, ISIS, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, drug dealers, illegal immigrants, unsafe world everywhere. So he ends his column, Sam, this way. He says, if our American ancestors had been told that the Constitutional Convention was bringing into existence a national security state type of government structure, they never would have approved the deal. The only reason they approved the deal was because they were assured that the Constitution was bringing into existence a limited government republic. End of quote. Well, I believe he is right, Sam. The national security state today is the root cause of many of our problems. We have allowed it to get way above us, to stray from the limitations placed on it by the state via the Constitution. And so the solution, this being Solutions Radio, as you like to say, Sam, is to return to the enforcement of those limitations, return to the Blueprint for Liberty. Now, states could help a lot with this if they refuse to deploy their men in any conflict that doesn't have the Congressional Declaration of War as required by the Constitution, Sam. And so this is a great summary of the awful predicament in which we find ourselves, but the solution is to return to the Blueprint for Liberty, the Constitution for the United States. Sam?
Not only is this the solution now, but it's always been and will forever be the solution, ladies and gentlemen. Look, it's very clear. When it comes to God, it's the Scriptures. It's obedience to God's commandments, starting with the Ten Commandments and the two great commandments that the commandments hang upon, or the law hangs upon, which is love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor, right? So those 12 ideologies, from a God perspective, is the starting point. When it comes to families, we're talking about a God-ordained traditional family with a mother and a father, welcoming children and the procreative power only given to a man and woman by God Almighty. where the whole generations of society can continue. The family can continue. Are we hating of anybody else? No. We're just pointing out the solutions and the way to move forward effectively. God, family, and then country. The supreme law of the land, the Constitution. Understanding that rights come from we the people. That government exists because we think government has a proper role. A very limited constitutional proper role. And we believe it's based on God's laws. And this proper role of government, ladies and gentlemen, is articulated or codified by the Declaration of Independence, explaining that government gets its rights from we the people. Okay, just government is from the consent of the people. They derive their just powers from our consent, delegated authority, ladies and gentlemen. And we can only give them authority that we already have to give. So understand those fundamental principles. And then codifying that in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, explaining, hey, here's how it works. We've given you power, but we've given checks and balances to divide it vertically and horizontally to make sure no one gets too powerful. And in that venue, the God, family, and country scenario, that is where solutions are. Any other plan will be an absolute failure. All right? It's that simple. So this national security state is a racket. Jacob Hornberger doing a phenomenal job, as he always does. Now, Tony Fauci seems to almost have dictatorial powers without any checks and balances these days. Lowell?
And that's because the government policies are fashioned in a way that he wants them to be formulated. And now, this next piece from John Rappaport is talking about the swine flu epidemic of 2009. Why do we want to bring this up? Well, because I want to prove that Fauci is not to be trusted, nor is the CDC. And yet, we live in an environment now where government entities across the country do bow to the CDC and to Tony Fauci. And this story will tell you why we should not be doing that. In the summer of 2009, people were urged to take the new swine flu vaccine. In fact, Robert Kennedy writes about that. He says, for example, Fauci once shilled for the fast-track H1N1 influenza swine flu vaccine on YouTube, reassuring viewers in 2009 that serious adverse events were, quote, very, very, very rare, end quote. Shortly thereafter, the vaccine went on to wreak havoc in multiple countries, increasing miscarriage risks in pregnant women in the U.S., provoking a spike in adolescent narcolepsy in Scandinavia, and causing febrile convulsions in one in every 110 vaccinated children in Australia, prompting Australia to suspend its influenza vaccination program in children under 5 years old. That's what Robert Kennedy wrote about that swine flu thing. Now, Rappaport says that's only half of the swine flu story. And that is an ugly half, but there is another half to the story which involves an astounding hoax, which was surely something of which Fauci was aware, Sam.
Not only has he been aware, but he's been aware over and over and over, and he keeps moving forward with the same control-style communist agenda. Quick pause, Lowell Nelson on your radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-getters to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, the website's campaignforliberty.org. Riding shotgun with me always on Mondays and Fridays, first hour, Lowell Nelson. Campaignforliberty.org is the website. Lowell doing a phenomenal job highlighting this article, really, that lays it out, in my opinion, so succinctly. Fauci is simply not to be trusted. The guy's waffled everywhere. He has not called people on the carpet when he should. I'll give you a quick example and then straight to Lowell. You know, the cycles that are used for these, what are they called, PCR tests? Cannot be above 35 or the test becomes unreliable. Now, if Fauci has mentioned that in passing, so he's gone on record stating the fact, but he has not done anything to help the media understand this and push this reality and to hold these testing partners accountable for when their tests run over 35. Why are the tests running over 35? Who's doing it, making them unreliable? Fauci has documented the science. That's true. So these tests are unreliable, but then they, along with Fauci, say, well, you can count on the numbers. Well, how can he say you can count on the numbers, but any cycles over 35 makes it unreliable and then not hold these companies that make the tests accountable for that? And who's running these tests intentionally over 35 and why? See, there's a disconnect here going on, ladies and gentlemen. And then they say, oh my gosh, it's horrible. The PCR testing numbers are going down. Less people are getting tested. And they're going, oh, this is horrible. It was one of the main staples to solve the COCO. But you know what? Why are you guys giving tests that we know are inherently unreliable? And then you're mad when we don't want to take them? Folks, this disconnect is beyond imagination, and this is the simplest of what Fauci has done. He is not to be trusted is the main thrust of the article, Lowell.
That's right, Sam. He was recommending a dangerous vaccine for protection against an epidemic that did not exist. See, it did not exist. His colleagues at the CDC were creating the hoax. The CDC was claiming there were thousands and thousands of swine flu cases in the United States, yet the CDC had stopped counting cases of swine flu. They didn't tell anybody, but they had stopped counting swine flu cases in the summer of 2009. Why? Because, as Cheryl Atkinson discovered, routine lab tests of tissue samples from swine flu patients was overwhelmingly coming back with no sign of swine flu or any other kind of flu, for that matter. Atkinson wrote an article about the scandal. It was published on the CBS News website. But then the story got spiked. No other major news outlet picked up the story, and we were not told the story, except for Cheryl Atkinson's brave, courageous exposure of this. We wouldn't know about this hoax. But the CDC keeping the true swine flu case numbers secret, the public was not well informed, so many people continued to get their children an experimental vaccine that was not necessary. But that wasn't the end of the story, Sam. After Atkinson's findings were published on the CBS News website, the CDC, in a panic, decided to double down. If one lie is exposed, they thought, well, you tell a bigger lie. And that's what they did. On November 12th of 2009, near the end of that year, a WebMD article published the CDC's response. Quote, shockingly, 14 million to 34 million U.S. residents, the CDC's best guess is 22 million, came down with H1N1 swine flu by October 17th of 2009. End of quote. That was the WebMD article published by the CDC, promulgated by the CDC. It was a flat-out lie. They were not even counting the number of cases, and yet they lie like this. And so, folks, your eyeballs should be popping right out of your head right now. So fast forward to today. Can we believe anything that the CDC is saying about COVID? That's a big fat no. Can we believe that the CDC is saying what they're saying about the diagnostic test that Sam just described, the masks, the lockdowns? Well, no, absolutely not. Can we believe anything that Fauci says? That, too, should be answered with a big fat no. One would be foolish to do so, Sam.
The evidence is so all over the map. And then if the evidence wasn't enough, okay, we can debate the evidence. They can talk about the evidence. They can disagree on the evidence. I'm okay with that discussion. A great example are masks. You know what? Historically, they say masks aren't good. Then we do more studies and they say, oh, you got to have a mask. Fauci says no mask. Then Fauci changes and says, well, I lied, no mask. Yeah, you need a mask, but I didn't want everybody to take them away from the health care providers, and so I lied. Sorry, now we have enough masks. It's good to go. You should have a mask. And then we go on, and now there's even evidence modern times from our government agencies that say masks don't do any good. They don't help at all. So we've literally spent millions and millions and millions of dollars on masks. We've forced everybody to cover up, and we've created this kind of crisis in society about masks. We've allowed people to get tased and beat up and kicked out of places and everything else, only to find out that masks don't really do the good they claim they did. Now, that debate can happen all day. I get it. This is America. But when you start to act like somebody's a criminal for not wearing a mask, or act like somebody does not have the right to their belief that masks are unsafe and ineffective, and then you start to literally ridicule and mock and arrest and outlaw and fine, and I go on and on and on over the masks, you have lost your marbles when it comes to the principles that made America great. You have lost your understanding of who government really is. They derive their consent or their power from the consent of the governed, their authority from us, we the people who consent. And you know what? We've consented to say the legislative bodies can make laws. We haven't consented to these governors and presidential edicts coming out as if they're kingmakers. We have not consented to that. We've consented to them having delegated authority based on checks and balances, based on the separation of powers, which they are violating, and they should be arrested and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law for their abuses thereof. I digress, except to say, ladies and gentlemen, we better be very careful. Indeed, with this. Tony Fauci and the swine flu hoax, betrayal of trust, John Rappaport, but it should be saying the COVID, the big hoax, they're not to be trusted. Amen to that reality check. Moving right along, experimental vaccinations and the death rate for Israel. We've mentioned this on the broadcast last week, but it's worth highlighting and focusing on a couple of more details. Lowell?
Last week, a news analysis of vaccine-related deaths in Israel concluded that COVID-19 vaccines are not safer than the virus itself. In fact, they concluded that the Pfizer vaccine there is 40 times as deadly as the virus itself. And so you look at these numbers. In the age, if you're older than 65 years of age there in Israel and were given the Pfizer vaccine, 200 people out of 100,000 died. That's an astonishing number. This is compared with the 4.91 people who die out of 100,000 people who die from COVID-19 without vaccination, right? So if you're in Israel, you're over 65 years of age, and you get COVID, then 5 out of 100,000 people would die. But if you're in that same age category and you get the Pfizer vaccine, then 200 out of 100,000 people will die. I mean, that was the study of a 5-week period. Now, these vaccines have not been around that long, so this is very early. But that's what we're learning from Israel right now. That's an astonishing number. And for those below age 65, it's worse. During the same 5-week period, 50 out of 100,000 people died after vaccination. That's compared with 0.19. people per 100,000 dying from COVID who were not vaccinated in the younger category, age category. So this I'm telling you, Sam, this so-called vaccine, which you and I both know is not a vaccine, is bad news. We know that. It's not a vaccine. It doesn't keep you from getting the disease, although it may suppress some of its symptoms, and it may rewrite important aspects of your immune system such that your body will not be able to defend you against pathogens out there in the big world. In fact, your body might be trained to kill itself.
And ladies and gentlemen, let's be very clear about this. They don't know the long-term effects of the vaccine that they call a vaccine, this literally genetically modified or RNA tweaking technology. They don't know long-term what it will do. Okay? And if they say that they do know or that it's not a big deal, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't have any evidence. So they claim no long-term effects without evidence. One of their famous phrases, right? And that's really, really important to understand if you debate or discuss this with anybody. All right, before the end of the hour, I want to tease this topic. And Lowell, if you can remember to bring this back on Friday for greater discussion, because there's too many key points to discuss, and we don't have enough time, but I want to tease it and give a summary. And that is about this Utah legislative session. I call it the 45 days of terror ends, thank heavens. But let's call it the summary on the 2021 Utah legislative session, the good, the bad, the ugly. Let's do a summary, and then let's try to dig into it on Friday in great detail, shall we?
Yeah, that would be that's a good approach. I like it. Now, I don't think this is a terrible session, a general session. I think we did regain a few liberties. I would actually give the legislature a C-plus grade. You know, that's just slightly above average or slightly above moderate. Now, one disappointment, Sam, was the lack of real election reform. See, I want to return to paper ballots. I want, you know, 30 years ago, that's what we used, paper ballots, cast in person on election day, not election month, but on election day, and then counted by 3 election judges in each precinct in the state. That's what we did 30 years ago. It worked great. Those 3 election judges, they counted the ballots and they called in the numbers to the county clerk, and then they looked at they made sure that the county clerk published the numbers that they called in, and there was transparency at every level. No more voting by mail. No more, you know, except for voters who request absentee ballots, right? I mean, these are some of the reforms that we ought to make in every state of the union, so that we can trust the elections. And there really was, I mean, there's some tweaking around the edges about election law here in the state of Utah, but no real substantive reform. That was a huge disappointment in light of the fact of the presidential election of 2020, in light of the fact that it was just voter fraud and election fraud just in your face. So that was a big disappointment. Another disappointment was that the reform of the Emergency Powers Act, you know, it sort of happened but didn't go far enough. Well, the good news there is that the power of the executive was curbed somewhat, so it's better now than before, but, you know, it just didn't quite go far enough. We still are going to have county health departments and state health departments telling us what to do, you know, and the legislature didn't exercise enough of muscle there. But those are 2 or 3 of the, you know, overall summary type observations that I would make about the Utah 2020 general session of the legislature.
Constitutional carry now, the law of the land in Utah, huge. They've violated the Second Amendment for far too long, and thank heavens we've recovered from that. How many overall bills were there, Lowell? Do you know?
Over 500 were approved by the state house, by the state legislature. They considered nearly 1,000. And I followed only about 40 of them, but, you know, with mixed results. Some were good, some were bad, and some were ugly.
Ladies and gentlemen, how do you follow 1,000 bills in 45 days? All I'm telling you is this. I call it the reign of terror, and thank heavens it's over. Summary of the 2021 Utah Legislative General Session. Thank heavens the reign of terror is finally over, Lowell. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Sam.
There he goes. Godspeed, doing a phenomenal job. Will Nelson joins us on Friday for a detailed breakdown of that legislative session. It's critical because the same things are happening in your states. God save the Republic.